of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
You see, my mission today is clear. To wake the dead. So let freedom's song rage. You're not a bandit. You're not alone. Last day warriors, arise from yesterday's ash. And raise your fist with us. We are the army that's charging upon the land. Defeat is no longer an option. It is victory. We stand.
Welcome back. This is the Jefferson State of Mind, and it's a good state of mind.
It is. It is. I'm feeling a little riled up, and I don't know, for the last week or so, I kind of feel spoiling for a fight, but I'm in a good mood. I think that's an Irish thing.
It's an Irish thing.
But it is a beautiful morning, and looking forward to it.
It's nice and cool. I rolled all my windows down driving in. I was just like, yeah.
Yeah, we got the Bee Harvest Festival going on up here in Shasta County out in Palisadro.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. First weekend of September.
It's a pretty good time usually.
Yeah.
Good place to get honey if any of you guys are homebrewers like I am and like to make mead. So, it's good stuff.
Oh, that's funny. Well, let's see. It's already September, which blows my mind.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's September right now. And today, we are starting kind of a new program-ish. We have sponsors for certain segments.
We do.
We do. And our signer segment is brought to you by
Jefferson State Store. For all of your Jefferson State gear, from license plate holders to hats to sweatshirts to t-shirts, go to www.jeffersonstatestore.com. You will find things that you can find nowhere else. There's fantastic stuff at a fantastic price.
Indeed.
There is. It's good stuff.
All right. So, today we're going to be talking about a gentleman by the name of Button Gwinnett. Button. That was his name. I'm like, interesting. Cute as a button.
Yeah.
Oh, you probably got that a lot. Anyway, Mr. Gwinnett was actually born in England, but there's a dispute as to his birth record. The only thing that we can say for certain was that he was the first of seven children and that he was baptized at St. Catherine's Church in Gloucester on April 10th, 1735. So they're pretty sure he was born in 1735, but he could have been born as early as 1732. Yeah, so that's one of those things. So he was probably 41 when he signed the Declaration.
Yeah.
But he could have been up to 44.
So I'm taking it he probably didn't come from a real noble family.
No.
That kept up on that kind of stuff.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. He came to America and resided briefly in Charleston, but then acquired a pretty large tract of land in Georgia, and he moved there in 1765. Farming and business did not bring him success, however, but he did get a foothold in revolutionary politics. And we talked earlier with another signer about a gentleman by the name of Lachlan McIntosh, and we're finally back to him. So if you remember, Lachlan McIntosh dueled one of our signers of the Declaration of Independence and actually killed him, and that was Button Gwinnett. So we're finally actually talking about Button Gwinnett. Well, Mr. Gwinnett was appointed to be the commander of Georgia's Continental Militia, but he had to decline the post because of politics at the time. So he instead was elected to the Continental Congress, and that's why he was there to sign the Declaration of Independence in 1776. But when he returned home, he was hoping to be reassigned to the militia once more. Instead, the appointment went to his rival, Mr. McIntosh.
Mm-hmm.
So Gwinnett shrugged it off and worked in the Georgia legislature, where he drafted the Constitution for the state with a bunch of other fellas. On the side, however, he worked heavily to destroy McIntosh. Like, this was a rivalry of the ages.
They didn't.
They hated each other.
Like, back in the day on the playground, didn't like each other.
Probably a little bit worse. Like, they edged it into the classroom, too.
Okay.
Yeah. It was pretty bad. When the legislature adjourned in February of 1777, and the Council of Safety was handed over to from a man named Archibald Bullock to Gwinnett, Gwinnett then decided, you know what? I'm going to go after McIntosh. So he attempted to invade Florida, but the effort was thwarted by McIntosh, and in turn, Gwinnett was charged with malfeasance.
Really?
Really.
For attempting to invade Florida.
For attempting to invade Florida to secure the southern border.
Which would still be a Spanish possession at the time.
Yes,
correct?
It was. Yeah. Yep. So what happened was Gwinnett was actually cleared of any wrongdoing because people were like, okay, McIntosh kind of thwarted you. Okay, we'll give it to you. So he tried running.
Did they charge him with malfeasance for invading Florida or for losing?
For losing to invade Florida because McIntosh thwarted what he was doing.
That sounds uniquely American. You're okay as long as you get it done. Yeah. Don't lose.
Yes, don't lose. So because he was cleared, he was like, fine, I'll just run for governor. He fails. So now he's really mad. And soon afterward, his honor was challenged publicly by McIntosh, who was taking advantage of the situation. And in true 18th century fashion, actually, he offered a duel. So they met outside of Savannah on May 16th, 1777, where they wounded each other. McIntosh survived the wound. Gwinnett died 3 days later at the age of 42.
So they actually wounded each other, and one of them died and the other one didn't.
Yep. So later on, we don't have any quotes from Mr. Gwinnett, so we'll talk about the last legal duel in the United States instead of doing a quote, which will just blow your mind. So you have to stay for the entire show because it's really interesting how it ties into Jefferson.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't think that would happen, did you?
Yeah, and sometimes it makes you think maybe we should still be able to have duels.
Actually, you can. Not every state in the United States has made dueling illegal.
Really?
Really, really, really.
That's interesting.
I didn't have time last night to actually look up which states, because it's kind of an odd law. Yeah. But
like California, I'm not even sure that you can get away with the mutual combat law anymore.
You know? It probably depends on which county you're in.
Yeah, it does. It probably, you know, but
there should be the ability of
two people to go, yeah, it was just, you know, it was at it. With mutual combat. We were past the point of verbalization. And
sometimes you get there.
Yeah, sometimes you do.
Yeah.
It is. It is what it is.
But yeah, I just got a kick out of that. I was just like, these two guys, Gwinnett and McIntosh, just going at it for years.
Yeah.
For like 3 or 4 years, they're just, Yes, indeed. So we finally got back to McIntosh and the duel and Gwinnett, and
yeah.
Gwinnett did die.
Yeah, and today we want to kind of cover some different things. We want to cover what's going on with new regulations that are coming in California.
And they are on Governor Brown's desk.
There's a bunch of them. Yeah. Although I do believe that the ammunition permit background check went down in flames.
Really?
Yeah, I caught a quick glimpse at that this morning.
Okay.
If anybody knows that for sure, go ahead, give us a call, 605-4567. Let us know. And but I do believe that's what I saw. We want to discuss that, and we want to discuss how to organize and motivate in your county and become politically active and begin to shape and control the environment that your particular county exists in.
Yeah.
Because for some of the Jefferson counties that have less enlightened officials that are not as responsive to the people's needs and desires as some other ones, you're going to be in for a bit of a fight. And yeah. The way that you're going to have to do that is to organize, become politically active. And we're into the race in November, but then that gives us about 3 months, catch our breath, and then let's start getting going on the 2016 elections.
Yeah.
And figure your year behind. So we want to start really kind of covering that stuff too.
I was going to say something and I totally just...
Brain farted it out.
Yeah. Totally gone.
Just right out the door.
I hate it when that happens.
Derailed the thought train.
It is 8 in the morning. What can you expect, right? Saturday, 8 in the morning.
And it's starting to not feel like summer. I'm not ready to call it fall.
It's finally getting cool.
Yeah. I'm not ready to call it fall yet, but it's starting.
It's turning.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. It's the best time of the year.
Yes.
You know, all the crops are in, and you got the end of baseball season, which is exciting, the start of football season, which is great. It's finally cooling off. And, I mean, the best time of the year for eating food is it's coming. So, I'm excited.
Eating food, football. Well, men clashing against each other on a field of battle.
Yeah.
Hey, that's your mutually assured, you know.
Yeah, mutually.
Destruction.
You can't fight in the street, but can you play one-on-one football? Yeah, I swear, officer, we were just playing football.
Yes. See the helmets?
Yeah. I wonder if we could get away with that.
Oh, I'm sure that you could.
I don't know. I don't think I want to find out. I'd be in more trouble when I got home than when the cops showed up.
That's funny. So. All right. Well, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We're going to talk a lot about what the regulations that are on Governor Brown's desk. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. And all these songs, cop songs, they're going out to my hubby. Because he's going to start working here in a couple of days. So if you get pulled over, just remember, it could be my husband, and you don't want me to find out that you were mean to him. I'm just saying.
That's a bad idea.
I'm just saying. All right, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Hi, this is Sherry with the Good News Rescue Mission. And today, a young lady named Venus came into the mission, and she was so happy and even had tears in her eyes. And that wasn't her story not too long ago, because she came to the mission homeless, broken, afraid, alone. And today, through the help of those of you who support us and the programs of the Good News Rescue Mission, she, with a smile on her face, got a job and is going back to college. And her life has completely been restored. In her own words, she said, "The mission changed my life." Venus is just one of thousands whose lives have been transformed at the Good News Rescue Mission. To hear more stories like hers, or to make a donation and help be a part of that solution, or to refer somebody in need, go to our website at gnrm.org. That's for Good News Rescue Mission. Or check us out on Facebook. Become a part of the solution. That's the Good News Rescue Mission, gnrm.org.
Dandelion Gift and Apparel is a unique boutique in the very heart of downtown Reading. It's on Market Street, just down the block from Kobe Steakhouse. When you step into Dandelion, you have your own personal shopper. At Dandelion, they deliver that personal touch just to help you find the right item. Dandelion is open 10 to 5:30 weekdays and 10 to 5 on Saturday. So head downtown for stylish clothing, gifts, and accessories you just won't find at the mall. Dandelion. Yeah, that's it. Dandelion.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to one to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to one on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
More than once.
Welcome back. If you have any questions or comments or anything like that, you can call in at 605-4567.
Yeah.
Or visit us online in our chat room at kcnr1460.com.
And that is the truth, is you can keep it a tie. You can even put a couple points on the board. But in the end, the law always wins.
They do. But that is a very funny song by Green Day. So,
things that are sitting on California's Governor Jerry Brown's desk, and things that we need to be paying attention to.
Quite a few things. One I found out this morning.
Yeah, one that is kind of near and dear to me. My daughter, she goes to a charter school here in Shasta County, and new program for us. But I'm really excited about it. I really like the way that it's going, and the ability that they have to do different things. Mm-hmm. And there is a bill on Governor Jerry Brown's desk, basically sponsored by the CTA, because charter schools operate outside of the norm. Their teachers aren't part of the teachers union necessarily, and there's some conflict there. Mm-hmm. But basically, SB 1263, if you guys can call Governor Jerry Brown's office Monday and tell him veto SB 1263, which essentially makes it impossible for charter schools in California to have remote campuses, kind of almost like a satellite campus for a college, but not exactly. And it's once again, California is one size fits all without an understanding of rural counties. And basically what it is it limits the school and their resources, the charter school, to exclusively what they define as their campus, whereas this particular charter school has an off-site resource center in another part of the school district, because it really is troublesome, bothersome. It's hard for kids to travel to the main campus for where they live in some regions of the district. Mm-hmm. And they have this resource center. There's no classes taught there. There's nothing like that. But they're able to travel there. They're able to access computers,
it's
access material,
yeah.
get help from a teacher. It is. It's a resource center. And the CTA is trying to put a stop to this basically because they're worried about charter schools being able to franchise, I guess.
And I think what they're worried about is how many people are moving to the charter school system.
It's a fantastic system. I'm really excited about the programs. My daughter's able to get college credit while she's going through high school. They're able mm-hmm. to tailor to her needs and interests. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's fantastic. And I would really, really appreciate it on a personal level if you guys could call Governor Brown at fight SB 1263. It's a bad mm-hmm. idea, and it hurts charter schools. And this is a very viable alternative to a failed public school system.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, one thing that I always hear about people when they talk about, like, not everybody has the ability to homeschool, especially if both parents work in, or mm-hmm. if you don't have an education background, it can be very difficult. But with the charter system, you can do the part-time students, you can do full-time students, and it really does cater to the individual needs of the student, which is what the educational system is supposed to do.
Yeah.
This whole one-size-fits-all thing does not work. It didn't work for me when I was going through, and I was in a private school. So, you know, even if you don't have kids yourself, if you have nieces, nephews, cousins, you know, gremlins on your street, I mean
yeah. –
this is something that will revitalize the educational system, and it's been working here in Northern California
really well. If you are unhappy with the public school system, I urge you, take a look at the charter school system.
Yeah.
It really is fantastic. As an example for earth science, instead of sitting there going through a dusty old book, there is some stuff like that.
I like those dusty old books, Robert. Why must you say it like that?
they're actually going to load the kids up and take them up to Lassen Park. And instead of looking at, you know, this is a ponderosa pine or this is a western red cedar or whatever it is mm-hmm. in a book, they're going to go and actually examine it. And, you know, while they're talking about pyroclastic flows and things like that, they're going to be able to go, you see that up on the mountainside, you see. So I'm kind of an amateur geologist, too.
I'm like, a pyro what?
Pyroclastic flow. It's technically lava that doesn't come out of a volcano. It comes up out of a fissure.
Oh, okay. I just didn't know the fancy term for it.
So, really, really supportive of that, and I encourage people to do that. And that's just one of the many bills that are out there.
Yeah.
Another one is SB 1911, which is going to make me paint all of my fantastic airsoft stuff pink or chartreuse or something ridiculous.
Well, like, you know, in talking to some people who are law enforcement officers, whether you paint it pink, chartreuse, neon yellow, you got one of those, you know, airsoft guns in your hands.
They're still
going to shoot you.
Yeah.
Especially, if you point at them, they'll shoot you. I mean, if not, they'll just tell you to toss them on the ground, you know.
If you're walking around with any kind of thing that resembles a weapon out in the open, you're an idiot.
Yeah, they want to go home that night. They're not going to play games with you. And that's the thing is, even if, like, you head up to Top Shot, you head out to Jones Fort, mm-hmm. they've got bright pink pistols sitting out there.
Yeah. There's multicolored accessories for everything. There's,
it's like, are you kidding me? Have you guys not gone to a gun store?
One of the biggest selling ladies' handguns is pink.
Yes. I don't understand why.
I don't get that.
Why pink?
Whatever. But, you know, but here's an example of California just passing a feel-good law that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And it is over a child that was shot in Santa Rosa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he did something stupid.
Well, number one, he was already in violation of an existing law that states that if you're in public with an airsoft weapon, it is to be in a gun bag, you know. And so he was already violating a law that didn't save his life. So now we're going to pass another law that's not going to save anybody's life
mm-hmm.
and make me run around with a Barbie gun that I don't know.
Yeah.
That's another perfect example of why it's time for 51. You know, we need some common sense here.
And that's the key. It just comes down to common sense.
Well, it was written by, you know, my favorite, Putz de Leon, the anti-gun guy, the ghost.
The guy we had to keep you away from.
Yeah, the ghost gun king.
Yes.
You know.
If you don't know what we're talking about when it comes to the ghost gun, go to YouTube, put ghost gun, the Leon and just watch it. I mean, it's hilarious. Well, I mean, you cry with laughter.
How do you elect a guy that's not even smart enough to pick a better wig? I mean, come on. There's just certain things that should tell you about somebody right off the bat.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like Mo from the Three Stooges. It's terrible. And you paid money to look like
you
that.
You paid money to look
purpose. There should be blinking lights going off for some people. And then, you know, we've got
the big one.
There. Don't forget the per mile traffic tax.
I don't think that's going to pass. I think Governor Brown is just moderate enough that he'll be like, I think that we'll start a war if we pass that one. Let's not do that one.
I hope not. And for those of you that don't know, that they're trying to push through yet another tax on your vehicle. Like, we don't pay the highest vehicle registration and tax rates in the nation already.
Well, the thing that gets me is so many people move to the green cars and the more fuel-efficient cars. That now California is not collecting enough taxes off of the gas tax, so they're going to do a per-mile tax, so they still make up their revenue shortfall.
Well, I mean, yeah. So you're going to have to travel to DMV every year to register your vehicle.
As if, you know, DMV is not inefficient enough already.
Yeah, and they're so friendly.
Yes.
So you're going to have to go down there already, okay? Yeah. And they're going to have to check your odometer. And then you're going to have to come back next year and they'll check your odometer. And then they're going to tell you how much that you owe them on top of your registration fee.
Yeah.
And road tax.
Yeah.
Now, who is that aimed at?
Rural folks who have to drive, not people who use the BART.
Exactly. Or, you know, what are they going to do next? Put a meter on your bicycle? You know, it's going to count how many times your tires go around.
Well, that's the thing. I was mentioning to a few people. I go, anything with an odometer would have to be.
It's a motor vehicle.
It's a motor vehicle. That includes all your ATVs. That includes your motorhome. That includes all your farm equipment.
Everything.
Everything. Yeah. Everything.
Yeah. Because they.
That's why I don't think it'll pass.
Yeah, well, they count a bicycle as a motor vehicle. Ask anybody that's gotten a DUI on one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a motor vehicle.
Boats.
You're going to have to put a meter on your horse. They count that as a motor vehicle.
Do they really?
Yeah.
How do you meter your horse?
I don't know. You get like one of those
specialized little like solar hooves.
Yeah, you get like one of those Nike shoes for your horse that counts how many steps it takes, and they just, I don't know. The point is that
it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Yes.
And it's aimed right up here at us rural people.
Yeah.
And then there is the biggie that'll probably start a shooting war. The water meters.
I got a thing from Dilly Dally yesterday in the mail about that. Did you get one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you got that too?
Yeah.
What's the best way to, you know, check water, you know, extraction? And I want to put, don't even think about it.
Yeah, don't even try.
Don't
it.
Do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing that gets me is I would never walk onto a ranch anywhere in Northern California to do anything with anybody's property because I know that they have guns.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to do it.
It's a bad idea.
It's bad. It's a really, really bad idea.
And we're talking about, and they're going to try and slip it by and they'll go, oh, well, you know, we need to restore the aquifers and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you restore the aquifer?
You
going to make it rain?
Yeah.
You can get out there and do a little dance for us? I mean, really, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So we're going to pass a law to restore groundwater.
Fundamental misunderstanding of how the earth works.
Yeah. Fundamental misunderstanding.
Well, apparently the aquifer out in Millville takes 20 years for it to fill up.
Yeah.
And so what some people out there were mentioning was, because in the law, it actually, or not in the law, in the bill, because it's not law yet, but in the bill it says private property rights will become an issue.
Mm-hmm.
It actually says that in there. And what some of the people out there were saying was maybe they'll just put it on as a voluntary thing. Like, you can voluntarily do this and maybe you'll get some sort of credit or something stupid. Or making it a corporate thing where all of the corporate would have to do it.
No. Period.
Yeah. That's my thing.
End of sentence. No.
No. Yeah. N-O. It's pretty simple. My 1.5-year-old can do it.
Yeah.
No.
Well, according to the logic, it's not your water. You know, that's basically what they're saying is your water rights, your property rights, the water that's underneath of your land is not yours.
Yep.
What's the next step? Well, the air's not yours either. You're going to have to pay carbon credit.
And now those plants and trees aren't yours. Those belong
You want to remove those? Well, you're going to have to mitigate that.
Which they already do.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, they're encroaching. They've got their foot in the doors. We're trying to slam it. And it's,
well, you combine this groundwater regulation with the federal EPA thing that's saying that basically anything
water
that they deem as an old stream bed, as an old creek bed, anything, a puddle, you know, a pothole in your road that they deem, you know, at one time held water, now suddenly they have rights to come onto your land and regulate your land because you're part of groundwater and... wake up, people.
Yeah.
In no way, shape, or form.
Mm-mm.
Yes, Representative Daly, what's the best way to do groundwater regulation? To stand up on your desk on the legislature floor and scream, no, 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 no. That's the best way to handle it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't sell out so we can cut a couple of inches bigger tree. Don't do it.
Yeah. Just, we're going to cut it anyway. Let's just do that.
Yeah.
Shh. Oh, it's going to be just like last week, isn't it? Kayla, shut up.
Keep
shut
telling
up
them all the good stuff.
All right. Oh, we're going to slide right on into a break again. You can call in at 605-4567 or visit us in our chat room at kcnr1460.com. But I did not shoot the deputy.
Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Bill.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream media sound bites every Sunday morning from 8 to 10. We dig into the politics of public policy, land use, and Agenda 21. We cover smart growth, immigration, veterans affairs, education, guns, and the many, many scams of sustainable development.
You know, for almost 4 years, we've spoken to famous and not so famous people from around the world who bring a perspective of limited constitutional government, fiscal responsibility, free markets, and common sense.
Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us for extensive archives and upcoming show information.
It's the most fun you can have with topics that will make your blood boil.
Join us for We the People Radio every Sunday morning from 8 to 10 here at KCNR 1460 AM.
This Sunday, we welcome former U.S. Ambassador to the Vatican, Francis Rooney, whose new book, The Global Vatican, provides an extraordinary look at the Catholic Church's role in world politics. We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Playing ball is a fun and healthy activity. Unfortunately, the cost of organized sports participation is out of reach for many children. Artwooden Play Ball Foundation's mission is to increase local youth sports participation through education, providing equipment, and fee assistance. Join us Saturday, September 27th at 10 a.m. for the Home Run Derby fundraiser at Reading Softball Park. Admission is free and includes a kids' venue, auction and raffle prizes, concessions, and good old-fashioned home run hitting. For more information, visit us on Facebook or call 440-4211.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more.
Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
Welcome back. This is the Jefferson State of Mind, a wonderful state of mind, a state of mind that all of you want because we're so much fun.
It is. It's enjoyable here.
It's enjoyable.
It is. It's a good time. And we wanted to bring up that there is a town hall in Susanville tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the Memorial Hall, the Veterans Hall in Susanville. There's going to be a host of speakers and getting the ball rolling up there and lasting it. It's already kind of well on its way, but it's going to start to culminate up there. And the next half hour is brought to you by SADC USA, makers of the EMF Eliminator. Now, if you don't know what that is, if you know anything about smart meters and the things that a smart meter is basically kind of a Wi-Fi meter for your house. Mm-hmm. Although the problem is the electronic magnetic waves that they produce are starting to show up in tests as very harmful to the point that it can break down DNA strains in embryos and things like that. This is not good stuff. And it's what they call dirty power. Now, SADC USA sells something called the EMF Eliminator. And if you're interested in that or want to know more, go to emfeliminator.com or give SADC a call at 406-493-1861 and ask for Big Dale.
Big Dale. I like that.
Well, there's Little Dale and Big Dale.
Oh, father, son?
I believe so.
Oh, that's cool.
So
nice family-owned business.
Yeah, American-made product, too.
Well, that's all I need.
That's it.
I'm good.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I think pretty much every house in the city of Reading has a smart meter on it because of PG&E or whatever it is that does it.
REU.
That's right. REU.
So
if you are in the city of Reading, you, unless you're paying a fee not to have it.
Yeah, are you suffering from insomnia? Have you had headaches? Not feeling quite right?
Yeah.
There are becoming links to your smart meter.
So,
and you also have the option of contacting the city and telling them you don't want a smart meter.
But if you do that, the warning is that you're going to have to pay a huge fee for them to come out and take it off, and then it's $10 a month to keep it off.
Yeah, to not use
it. So it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's how they hit you, right in the pocketbook, over and over and over and over and over.
And you wonder why you're broke.
Well, you know, the new anti-theft thing on your vehicle, that's only a buck or two.
Only.
You know, the cap and trade fuel tax is only 20 cents a gallon. It's only a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit here and a little bit
but
on
it's like,
that.
It's like taking a little kid to a grocery store. You know, you get to the end and now you have a $200 bill and you're going, why? Oh, yeah, because of this toy and that food and this snack and that drink.
Yeah.
It adds up.
Yeah. That's exactly what it's like. You go into the grocery store for a gallon of milk and you walk out with a basket full of groceries and then you got to hand them out in the parking lot.
Yep.
And then go home with your gallon of milk. It's insane.
You know. Oh, man.
Said you wanted to touch on the Liberty Tour from last Saturday.
Yes, we saw quite a few people there. Mm-hmm. I think it was rather successful. There were some interesting things that went on, including a nice fire drill right in the middle.
There was. It was like being in school again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody exit the building. Well, can we take our food with us? What about our drinks?
Yeah. I could not believe the response. I counted 7 engines, 2 water tankers, and an armored truck.
Yes. That armored truck was there before the engines were.
I know.
That's what blew my mind. The second that I walked out there, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
They already have an armored truck here to get all the money out of the building.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to burn it down.
Well, that's true.
It turned out to be a false alarm.
Yeah.
Which was kind of interesting. Right in the middle of Clive and Bundy, too.
I know. That's the one that really bothered me because I was like, I really want to really want to hear what he has to say. And we come back and he's still sitting there and he's like, well, that was fun.
I think he's kind of gotten used to that stuff.
Yeah. Well, it took, 4 tries to actually get him talking because the internet kept cutting out. But when you were looking at the Skype meter, they were 3 or 4 bars and he said his was fine.
Yeah, we were having some serious internet
projectors
problems.
Didn't work. The some phones couldn't work. Get service. It was really weird.
Yeah,
lots of weird stuff going on.
So, but all in all, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
So, and one of my favorite was Dan Johnson from Panda.
Yes,
that's People Against the NDAA. If you don't know what the NDAA is, that's the act that was the little piece that was stuck on to the Defense Spending Authorization Act that said basically the government can call you a terrorist and come
for any reason,
any reason, come and pick you up, detain you indefinitely without legal representation for as long as they want.
Anywhere they want.
You don't even have to be in the States. An American citizen.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's the kid that's fighting that one.
Yeah.
And he actually Skyped in from Ferguson, Missouri, where a lot of the things that was going on, and some of the things that we had mentioned on this show that we were highly suspicious of, and no matter what you think about the shooting of Mr. Brown, the government response afterwards
was insane.
They basically militarized a suburb of a major city. You know, it was way worse than a couple hours of lockdown after the Boston bombing. And for weeks, basically, there was an armed occupation of an American city, and it was not okay. But a lot of what went on is where there was no political activity in this community, where there was a complete apathy. Now they have inspired people to organize. Yeah. They're going to be throwing out their police chief. They're going to be throwing out their entire city hall. They're active. And what's funny is wherever the government sticks its face because they think it can get away with it because nobody's paying attention, all they manage to do is wake people up there. So, and one of the things that really touched me and really kind of bothered me is Dan Johnson said that there was a message sent very loud and clear that there was a feeling that if this was a ranch out in Nevada, that the people would have been there to support him. But because this was a black community, nobody showed up to help him. And that sent a very loud and clear message. And I think that's a fundamental failing, and I think there's some truth to it.
I don't know. I mean, I definitely agree with the sentiment of it, but there's so many different things. Like with the Clive and Bunny Ranch, there was the resources available for people to stay there.
That's true.
You wouldn't really have that in a neighborhood because people would have to live in each other's houses and stuff.
There's hotels on the outside.
There are, but that's the thing. There's it is available there.
Now what? Some of the tea parties from the St. Louis area actually did go in and started to help some of the shop owners clean up. Mm-hmm. They did what they call a boycott.
A boycott.
Yeah, they actually went in, and the stores and the businesses that were hit by these riots and these looters, they actually went in and bought up the rest of their stock and, you know, tried to get some money into the community to help them out. And a lot of what came out of Ferguson is the people that were doing the looting were not from that neighborhood.
They weren't.
They were brought there.
And the question is, by whom?
Yeah. He and Dan Johnson, who's actually on the ground in Ferguson, said there was a group from the Communist Party of USA, from Chicago, that were coming in and agitating people to try and riot and try and loot. And they're from Chicago. This whole thing stinks. And I think there is a fundamental failing in America, because I think a lot of people heard, hey, there's black people rioting in St. Louis, and that was it. They didn't even bother to look into it. Mm-hmm. Whereas if it's a white rancher in Nevada that's getting harassed by BLM, everybody's on the internet. They're digging into it. They're trying to find out what's going on. We failed to do the same. Well, you and I didn't. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people failed to do the same thing in Ferguson, and it kind of irritates me.
Yeah, I'll definitely give you that. But you have to look at the historical part of it, too. And this probably make a lot of people mad, but if the Lakers beat the Kings, you have riots in L.A.
Well, yeah, that's L.A.
But still, you know, like, you know, when you look at it, it seems like no matter where you go, there seems to be riots in these types of neighborhoods, whether it's a basketball game that didn't go their way and they're mad. Somebody got elected that they didn't like and there's riots. So I think that, you know, that type of history of, well, I'll just burn the city down around us.
Yeah.
You know, I think that plays into people's minds, too. And the thing with Ferguson is it happened really fast, and people don't know all the facts. Like, it wasn't – everybody's just focusing on the armless Michael Brown.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all that's being reported. It's not actually – whereas with Clive and Buddy, you were getting the, well, what's going on? Is it BLM? Is it Clive and Buddy? And it was more of an interest story. But I do think that a lot of people just kind of were like, well, whatever.
Yeah,
you know, and I think that's where people need to really look into it more. I definitely agree with you on that one.
Yeah, and that's really what I want to impart from that. I don't want there any racial overtones or anything like that. But don't disconnect from anything. Investigate everything.
Yeah.
If it comes from your best friend, check it out. I mean, look into it and find out. And remember that we're all Americans in this thing.
Yeah.
Left wing, right wing, white, black, I mean, pink,
Martian.
Whatever.
Don't talk about Feinstein that way. Sorry. She doesn't like it.
She's still an American, technically.
Technically.
By act of law. But yeah, and you know, where we want to go with that is get active. Get up and begin to shape the environment. But before you can shape the environment, you have to understand the environment that you're operating in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the last year for us in the state of Jefferson has been a huge lesson.
Yeah.
You know, the knowledge that we have and the political acumen that we have kind of built up for the last year has been fantastic. And we're still learning.
Yeah.
But we're becoming better at it.
And quicker.
Yes.
And quicker. Oh, I see where you're going with that one.
And we now have an Air Force.
There was a comment made in the chat room, and I think that this is really, really interesting. If Ferguson hadn't been made almost immediately into a racial issue, I think more people would have stood up against police aggression. However, it took 3 to 4 days to even find out about the robbery.
That's true.
So I think that by making it racial issues, a lot more people just go, oh, peace out, walk away, mm-hmm. We're done. I don't want to have this discussion, because almost immediately if you do, you're a racist, no matter what.
It's because it's so shameful what has happened to civil rights.
Yes.
And civil rights was such a powerful movement in the 60s, and it was such a good thing. And they have slowly manipulated and brainwashed and turned it into a cop-out.
Yeah.
And it's so sad.
Yeah.
And we have been preconditioned, but for some reason the brainwashing's not taken with our generation. It's not working.
Well, we've been lied to since the day we were born.
Yeah.
Basically. I mean, we see through the BS. We really do. We can look at it and go, all right, I'll give you that. I'm too bored.
Well, a lot of older people go, oh, well, you kids don't know. Look at how many of you voted for Obama. Well, yeah, wide, bright-eyed, going to be changed. We know there's something wrong in America. Kind of naive.
Yeah.
You know, and my question is why did your children go into that election so naive? Where'd you fall down on that one?
Yeah.
So if you want to blame your kids for being naive, maybe they shouldn't be out there doing and figuring this all out for themselves.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, a lot of people, they go, oh, your generation. Yeah. Who raised us? Didn't raise us. Hello, just saying.
Yeah, you got a problem with it. But don't get me down that rabbit trail.
Yeah.
But they learned. They learned from that. They see what they bought with their vote.
Yeah.
And they're not happy.
Yeah, we want to return the product.
Yeah, where's my warranty?
But we'll talk a little bit more about all that fun stuff after the break. You can call in at 605-4567 or visit us online in our chat room at kcnr1460.com.
Want to kill you, want to keep you alive, love in a 45.
It's Lady Bot and the Bluebirds, appearing in the Elements Restaurant and Lounge at the Wind River Resort and Casino Thursday, October 2nd, from 7 to 9 p.m. Join us as we recreate the vibe of the great lounge era, where musicians like Pat Karch, Bruce Kalin, and Bobby Veramentes play the wonderful standards of the great American songbook. Oh, yeah, and me, Linda Bot. I'll be at the mic singing my heart out. Dining, dancing, and a night to make memories. October 2nd in the Elements Restaurant and Lounge at the Wind River Resort and Casino. That's Lady Bot and the Bluebirds.
As we join Bob, the Mount Shasta Springwater Drop, we find him with new recruits.
Bob is cool and Bob is swell. He didn't come out of a well.
So, do you have what it takes to be Mount Shasta Springwater?
Yes, sir. I'm pure and natural, sir.
And why are you here?
Because I don't want to be filtered, sir.
All right, drips, so drops. You've got what it takes, so be pure and make America proud.
Bob is cool and he's on top. He's by far the coolest drop. Yes, sir.
Mount Shasta Springwater. Pure and simple. Naturally the best.
And all American, too.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
Oh,
Welcome back.
I remember that show.
Reno 911. That's from my brother to Jeff.
Right on.
But right now Jeff's hanging his head going, oh my God.
Yeah. Does he get the Lieutenant Dangle shorts?
I was joking. It was for Halloween.
Do they make shorts big enough for Jeff's legs? I mean, they're like tree trunks.
They are. He's built like an ox, man.
Oh, that's a horrible image. No, I'm going
Halloween.
To have...
Halloween. We will find. I mean, you can just cut him off, you know?
Run, Jeff.
Yes, run.
She's trying to dress you up like Lieutenant Dangle for Halloween. Just run, bud. Run for your life.
Oh, that's funny.
That is. It's a horrible mental image. It really is. Oh. All right.
We're spicy right. This morning, aren't we?
Getting back to it. And what we want to do is we want to talk to people about getting organized in your county. You know, especially our state of Jefferson folks is we're doing fantastic. We're pushing Jefferson. We're winning, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we're getting people to stop and go,
you know, we are a year old. Finally, we've had our 1 year anniversary and we are winning. Because if we listen to all the nonsense that's printed in the paper that shall not be named, and you guys have yours too, and listen to all the media and the naysayers and your elected officials that have told you that this will never happen, we would still be sitting up in Siskiyou County, sitting on our thumb going, man, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
But we haven't listened. We've gone out and we've done, and look at how far we've come in a year.
And I think that's the big thing is you can talk all you want of, oh, if they come to my property, I'm going to stop them. How do you stop them before they get to your property?
Yeah, before they even get out of the parking lot.
Yeah, before stop them in Sacramento. Put a line up. Put a red line in the sand that they're never to cross.
Yeah.
And actually stick to it.
Stick to it.
You know, you have to, if they're coming onto your property, you've already lost. Because you might fight the law, but the law will win.
Yeah.
You know, we played that song earlier, guys.
That's
it. So you got to stop them before. And in order to do that, you have to get organized now. You have to have elected officials who will fight for you.
Yeah. And that's it, is get your candidates, okay?
Yeah.
And it's not enough for them to say, hey, I'm a Democrat, so you're going to vote for him. Or, hey, I'm a Republican, so you're going to vote for him. Or, you know, hey, whatever. Vet these people.
What do they stand for?
Know who they are. Come to find out how they are. How many times have you felt good about a candidate and elected them, and then they've turned right around and bit the hand that fed them?
I'm just thinking of Bassetti.
Yeah, that's actually absolutely who I had in mind, is our mayor, is what a duplicitous, two-faced...
Be nice.
I'm just
saying. Or on the radio.
You know, lovely ex-baseball player he is.
Yes.
You know, I know who these people are.
Yeah.
Don't just get behind them because they're wearing your team's colors.
Yeah.
You know who they are. Control your environment. Get to know your political environment.
Yeah, they should know who you are. You should walk into a room and they go, oh, I need to be careful today because they are watching.
Yeah. And it amazes me that as what we've done over the last year, it amazes me is how few many people actually control what's going on.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about your elected officials, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about the people that pull their strings, the people that get campaigns
won. The men behind the curtain.
Yeah. It's very few people that are controlling the environment, and they're controlling it for themselves. And the only reason that they can get away with it is because we are not doing anything to stop it. Mm-hmm. We're not the ones controlling the environment. We need to start doing that. Jefferson is starting to do that. We have learned some great tools. We've learned some great things. We're still learning some great things. We're going to start passing these on to the counties. We are going to begin to control and shape our environment. And everybody needs to be doing that.
Yeah.
You know, as we say, we're not a per se political organization. We're a political organization, but we try very hard to avoid partisanship.
Yeah. Yeah, we want what's best for our area.
Yeah.
We're a geographical partisan group.
Yes, we're geographically, would that be geocentric? I used to get accused of, I had an anthropology class that I took in college, and this gal accused me of being every kind of centric that there was. So I just, I naturally make.
You mean you're a proud American? How dare you?
No, I'm ethnocentric. That's apparently being a patriot in college speak is ethnocentric.
Yes.
You know, because we were talking about cultural tribes in Africa and things like that. And she goes, well, their culture's just as good as ours. And I said, well, I'm not sure that I agree with that. Mm-hmm. And she goes, well, what's so much better about ours? I said, I don't know. Let's start with indoor plumbing.
Yeah.
I just.
Toilets.
Fresh water. I guess if that makes me ethnocentric, then proudly ethnocentric, I guess.
But, I'm going to go home and hug my indoor plumbing.
Yeah. But we need to become politically active.
We do.
And whatever your cause, whatever it is, get engaged, people. Know who your elected officials are. Establish a relationship with them. Whether it's a good one or a negative one, it's still a relationship.
And it's probably best for our elected candidates not to talk about certain things while in public, especially when members of the press are nearby. Just a friendly reminder for individuals out there who may or may not realize that the short blonde one is me.
Yeah, we can get uncivilized.
Yeah.
Real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. You know who you are. Well, and that's really what we want to pass on. Know the laws that are coming your way.
Yes.
Head them off at the pass. Have the political machine to do that. Okay?
Yeah.
Because whether you like it or not, that is the price of freedom and liberty. It's eternal vigilance.
Yeah. You know, that's not a big price to pay.
No,
being informed, being intelligent.
And I'm not going to lie, it is a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
To know every law that's coming, to know what your elected officials are up to, it's troublesome. It's bothersome. I would rather watch baseball. You know, I would rather be out back barbecuing. I would rather be, you know, out doing something. The time and energy that we sacrifice, you know, and our families pay that price.
Yeah.
You know, I have an amazing woman. I have amazing kids. I have amazing family support. I would love to be home with my kids doing stuff.
Yeah.
But this is the price that has to be paid.
And it would be paid easier if more people would be involved.
Yeah.
Because we get a lot of tips from people.
Yeah.
Lots of tips.
If this wasn't such a mess, maintenance is easy.
Yeah.
Okay. But we're well beyond maintenance. We're trying
rebuilding the whole house.
Yeah. We're trying to stop it from burning down. And we're kind of the point of going, well, hell with it. Let it burn.
Yeah.
You know, and then we'll fix it. We'll rebuild.
Collect the insurance policy and go somewhere else.
It's a hillbilly loan. Insure the hell out of it, burn it down, and we'll build a new one.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's our pitch for today.
You know,
we have to get involved, especially being an election season. You have to get involved. You have to know what's going on. And with these very specific laws, like education, that's going to affect your kids. They're going after your children.
Yeah.
Water, they're going after your water.
They're going after your property.
They're going after your property. Your ability to move, your ability to transport yourself, your goods, your children, your family, anything you want. They're going after every single facet of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be aware. For example, I was told a story a couple of days ago about some parents at a local school who said, oh, we don't need to fight Common Core. It'll go by the wayside eventually. Are you kidding me?
Well,
are you serious right
now? There's some truth to that, but it'll go by the wayside after it's evolved into something more insidious.
That's the thing. This is an expansion of No Child Left Behind, and it's an expansion of the 2008. I can't remember what it's called. I mean, this is everything builds on itself. It doesn't just go magically back to sanity.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, they said the same thing about No Child Left Behind. It'll go away. Well, it did, kind of. It turned into Common Core.
Yeah.
You know, so we took a bad thing and made it worse, and that'll evolve into something worse.
Yeah.
You know, because trying to get the government to let go of a policy that they've instituted.
Never happened.
Forget it.
Yeah. But we're at the end of the hour again. Oh, my goodness. And since I couldn't find any quotes from Butt and Gwinnett, I decided that a story would be just as good. So the last notable duel in the United States was called the Broderick-Terry Duel. And it was fought between a California senator named David Broderick and ex-Chief Justice David Terry, who was a member of the Supreme Court of California.
So I mean, you got a California senator and a California judge going at it.
Duel went down September 13th, 1859.
Where at?
Just outside of San Mateo County in Lake Merced.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And this duel was actually about slavery. Interesting. Broderick was an abolitionist. Terry was pro-slavery. And their intense disagreement led to the duel. And the fatal encounter occurred in a ravine. A couple of interesting notes, though, is that they tried to duel before the 13th and stopped by the police. Eventually, they got there. Broderick was struck and died 3 days later.
Crazy.
Crazy, right? Crazy. So we'll be back next week. I won't be here, but the bear will.
I will.
Yes.
I will. And I'll try and keep it good for you.
And this is the Jefferson State of Mind. You got to make it yours, Jeffersonian.
Have to. No choice.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Which approach is best for the U.S. economy? It depends on who you ask. And once again today in the weekly radio addresses, the differences between the two parties was made abundantly clear. Republican candidate for the Senate in Alaska, Dan Sullivan, said in this week's GOP address that the current administration is hurting the economy by failing to take advantage of American energy resources.
The Obama-Reid agenda has locked up America's natural resources, burden small businesses throughout the country with an avalanche of regulations, and suffocated job growth through a complete disrespect for the rule of law.
Meanwhile, Vice President Joe Biden gave the White House address, and he said everybody benefits when the middle class gets what he considers to be a fair deal, and he is calling for a higher minimum wage, among other things.
It's long past time to cut the middle class back into the deal so they can benefit from the economic growth they help create.